Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Boom, February's gone. Here we are, the first weekend in March. I don't know about where you're at, but where I was, it's been pretty warm. We kind of got that in like a lamb thing going. I'm hoping that the lion stays home at the end of the month. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And it is feeling like spring, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, spring ahead. Man. Saturday night, tonight.
Time to start thinking about getting some fishing going. If you didn't get out and do any ice fishing like I did not do this year, I am kind of looking at those rods hanging in my garage thinking I got to get the line out and stretch them out this spring because last year they sat idle all year.
Yeah, well, we were talking before the show. I said, I didn't do much this past week, but you just reminded me. I went out on Reed's Lake, which is a lake here in the greater Grand Rapids area, and we did our annual Boy Scout
outing. Oh, did you put the weenies on?
Yeah, so I get out there, and we got a little 8x8 tent that I put the grill in so the wind doesn't, you know, affect the cooking and all that other stuff. Well, we were expecting about 25 kids, and I got 80 hot dogs, so I cook up 40 of them, put them in a pan, and they're going to be ready to go when the kids get there at noon, right? And I've got my little pot of chili so I can make chili dogs for everybody. Whew, comes through the wind, blows that tent into the grill table, knocks it over, and I'm cooking on the tech.
No.
And I had the wherewithal to grab the handles of the tech on the outside. I caught it. But the chili was all over me and all over the ground. And I lost the 40 hot dogs because the ice was so slick, there's no snow, that we put down sawdust so that I could not slip around inside the tent. So all the dogs are in the sawdust. Threw them away and started over, and it ended up that we were fine. We had enough. That was a lighter turnout.
You only had 20 kids show
up. It was a lighter
turnout.
But anyway, yeah, so what a mess. I thought we were good, but that's a hell of a wind that comes down through there and blows a tent into the back of your table and tipped it over.
You didn't have it augered in.
We did have it augered in, but it was one of those where those fiberglass rods pop out.
Oh.
Well, they popped in.
They
caved in and hit the back of my table and flipped over my grill, man. It was crazy.
You got to bring the 30-foot the 30-foot shanty down next time.
Right. But anyway, we got through it, but it was a little mess. That's what happened.
That's exciting.
Yeah, not really.
In a bad way.
It was a mess.
Yeah,
but
well,
whatever.
That's too bad. Sorry to hear
that. Yeah.
I had some great grilling so far. I rebuilt my gas grill, and I keep my my charcoal, my Cajun, in a better spot so I can get at it more often. So I'm grilling a lot more right now. Now that there's not so much snow, I can grill like anytime I want, and it's so nice to get back into it. But you know, I hope next year when the winter comes, my winter grilling scenario will be all buttoned up the way my plan is going. But anyway,
you've been talking about that for a few years now.
Well, I finally have a solid plan though. So
okay.
Thanks for being a doubting Thomas.
No, I'm a realist, dude. I'm a realist. Yeah.
All my kids came home, so I got to grill every day, tons of food.
Right.
And one of the things I did was just some split chicken breasts. Another thing I did was some Sobeys kielbasa, which turned out really good.
Mm, that's so good.
I did a whole bunch of breakfast sausage, I think Saturday or Sunday morning, on the gas grill, and it's Sobeys Lynx, their breakfast sausage.
Right.
That is so lean, and it's the perfect breakfast sausage to grill. Even if you have a crappy gas grill that wants to catch everything on fire, those Lynx are safe because you don't get a bunch of fat running off them.
Right. They got casings on them too, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're beautiful.
So, yep.
And
very
then
cool.
I did, for Friday night, we had a party at the house, and I did just a bunch of these big jalapenos. And I did the boat side of them. You know, I cut them lengthwise, gutted them, and I made up some Sobeys breakfast sausage, cream cheese, some Parmesan, some onion, and that was about it. Then I stuffed them, and I put a little bit of Memphis seasoning on top. And then when I had them all, I put them on a rack that I could carry out to the grill because they're tipsy. They're
you don't like want to handle them too many times.
They're like
exactly.
Canoes, you know? Right. So I had my grilling rack, and I had them all up on there. And then I took and I dusted them with some brown sugar right before I grilled them. I'll tell you what, that was just a beautiful balance. They went, that was the fastest thing to go. And a lot of the people there were worried about, oh, is it going to be hot?
Yeah,
no,
right.
No. They didn't worry because one bite and it's like.
I would have never thought to put the sugar on them. That's interesting.
Yeah,
did
I know.
It
weird.
Get hot enough to caramelize or not so much? Probably not because you weren't on direct heat, right?
I wouldn't say it caramelized, but it just gave you a nice little sweet and sour at the end, a little sweet and hot at the end, you know?
Sweet heat, baby.
It wasn't like raw, but it wasn't caramelized. But I did grill them with the lid down, so it kind of melted in, I guess, enough.
Right.
Yeah. And it was just a little bit. It wasn't over.
So this rack that you put them on, was it up off the grates? I mean,
it's just a typical grilling rack with handles and the holes all over the bottom of it, you know, your basic.
Okay.
I think from Grill Daddy or from Mr. Barbecue or one of these companies I used to rep. I don't know.
Right.
I got a bunch of those little
accessories. So they were not directly on the grates. They were on a pan, which is on top of the grates.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yep, got it.
Got plenty of heat. They still wanted to burn. I had to go to low temperature. But, man, what a nice way to do a bunch of jalapenos. And they look so inviting. And we had, 12, 15 people, mostly my kids and their spouses. And, you bring this nice big rack out there. I think I took a picture of it. I should post it on the Grilling Guys.
Yeah, it's always
Facebook
good to have a picture
page.
Of your popper.
I shoot a lot of shots of food, and it's I may be too much. I don't know. But the Sobe Kielbasa, that is it Parkside?
Yep.
What they call it?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
He got that recipe from another butcher that went out of business, and he swore it to secrecy, and he has. But it is unbelievable. He's in that he's not anymore because he won it too many times. But they have this Kielbasa idol where all the – West Side Markets and Grand Rapids get together and compete, and it's a public opinion thing. And Tim won it with that Parkside Kielbasa,
right,
like 4 or 5 years in a row. So he decided just to not participate anymore,
right,
being a gentleman with his other meat guys because it's that good. I mean, it's crazy. If you've never been to Sobe Meats on Remembrance Drive in the northwest side of Grand Rapids, it's worth the trip just to go there for this stuff called Parkside Kielbasa.
It's a Polish thing,
right?
And since it's a Polish thing, it's a perfect time to introduce the Polish prince of the food business. Bob Dubisky's here with us.
Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I don't know about the
You've
prince.
Never been to the Kielbasa Idol, though, have you?
Well, honestly, I have not, but
you got
to
go.
I'm planning to go real quickly.
Right.
Real
He'd be a great judge, Jop, you know?
Yeah, better than
quite
me.
He's quite the meat expert.
Right. Yeah. He's not the, after about the 12th bite of somebody else's kielbasa, they kind of all taste the same. I'll just
So in the next in segment, that. Bob's going to talk about fish a little bit, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your food and your meat history and seafood history so they can understand your depth?
Okay, so quickly, my grandfather had a grocery store. My dad had a grocery store. I worked at Meijer for 33 years as a meat cutter, seafood buyer the last 12. And so I've got a well-rounded background in meat and seafood with all that 33 years at Meijer.
Wow, 33 years and 12, that's do that math. You aren't that old, Bob. Come on now. You started child labor.
He was three
back
when
there.
He started.
Right, standing back there with Hendrik Meyer.
right.
He was just a shrimp.
And now he sells them.
And I do sell. Now I sell to Meyer.
Yeah, so coming up next, we've got Bob Dubisky. He's going to talk about different types and styles of fish that could go on your grill. He's got some prepackaged stuff here he wants to talk about as well. So you listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. The cult of personality. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're talking a little seafood, and not the kind you look at, but the kind you might want to eat. But it is important to look at it before you eat it, so it's all called seafood.
Welcome back. Thanks, Jop. And thanks for that little bit of a great opener. I thought Jop was going to come out with his Angus voice.
Right. No, we're talking fish, not beef.
Little AC/DC for you. Mr. Dubisky does a lot of seafood, and I've eaten a ton of his seafood. But we were just friends from long ago and Lowell people. We have some funny stories of how we met and different things, but.
Do you want to tell that story?
Maybe not funny to everybody.
He busted my chops. No, we're not going through.
Come on.
You busted my chops enough over that. I didn't give him a big enough discount once.
On a fireplace. He said he had 7 kids to get through college.
I noticed you brought some Corona. Do you have a virus or something?
So I know that you guys like to have a nice beer when you grill.
Uh-huh.
So I had a couple of these in my fridge, and my craft beers were getting a little stressed out.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that I would offer them up to you.
All right.
Because, you know, the Corona thing is going around. And,
right.
You know, if you're going to have Corona, I want you to have lime with it.
Sure. Wow.
So here you go. You know.
I hear that combats the virus when you have
lime.
Well,
it does.
You get Lyme disease.
You got to watch out for Lyme disease.
That's all of that. It's always something, isn't it? Damn.
All right. So, yeah. So we want to talk about grilling seafood?
Okay. Yes.
Is that what we want to do?
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay. So
if you can't grill your seafood, though, you do have some samples. Tell us briefly about these things you brought in for
us. So I can tell you that available at Meyer Stores and your Spartan Stores, Family Fair, D&W, is a line of product in the seafood department called Scott and John's. And what they are is they're an all-natural gourmet shrimp bowl. And they come frozen, and these items are microwavable. So there's times when you don't have a grill. There's times when you're at work and you want to have a quick lunch that's under 300 calories. All natural, 16, 17 grams protein, non-GMO, simple ingredients, sustainable shrimp. I mean, it's a perfect item for that quick lunch. 3 minutes in the microwave, 3.5 minutes in the microwave, let it set for a minute, and they're done. And the shrimp is amazing. It's all raw shrimp in the bowl, so when it cooks up, it has a nice crisp to it. It's not going to be rubbery like some shrimp bowls can be when you microwave it. So
awesome. Look in your frozen case for Scott and John's, and then call Bob Dubisky if you want to know how to cook
Scott
them in the microwave.
Scott and John's, their byline is the cheating gourmet.
The cheating gourmet because it's so simple. There's a shrimp scampi. There's shrimp Alfredo. There's a shrimp ramen. There's shrimp, cilantro lime.
Everybody loves
scampi,
ramen.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, the ramen's a new one. There's coconut shrimp, shrimp jambalaya, and parmesan shrimp. So there's 10 different flavors, like I say, available at Meijer in the grocery frozen seafood section, and then Spartan Stores in the seafood frozen case. So
awesome. That's cool.
With that being said,
that's
those
cool.
are really cool, quick ideas.
So types and styles of fish that people ought to be considering for the grill.
Well, actually, Bob, you can grill any type of fish on the grill that you want to grill. If you're a steak guy and you want something a little bit more meaty, certainly tuna, swordfish, salmon steaks are great on the grill.
And so I got a question about those. So why are those great on the grill? What makes them great?
So they're a denser product, okay? So they'll hold up to grilling without falling apart.
Okay.
So they're denser. And, you know, a swordfish is kind of like got a beef strip, texture after you cook it and you cut into it, so it's a real meaty piece of fish.
Okay.
And when you
it
cook,
is it's beautiful
cook, yeah I mean season them up however you like them. You know, use some Phillips seafood seasoning or you can use your own seasoning. I like swordfish Cajun style, so put some Cajun seasoning on it and cook it on your grill. Have the heat, you know, 400 degrees. You want to cook those steaks quickly on high heat.
So is there an internal temperature we're looking for, or do you just wait till it flakes? How do you know when it's done?
Those are all good questions. Typically, internal temperature-wise, 135, 145 is tops where you want to be with that. Otherwise, it's going to start to dry out. But once it's at 135, pull that thing off the grill, and it's going to, you know, it's going to cook up a little bit more, a few more degrees. But 135 to 145 is ideal.
So rest it. Cover it, maybe?
Yeah, cover it. You don't have
to. So you don't lose too much moisture?
Yeah, you can cover it. But you definitely want to dive into it right away. Treat it like you would a steak, you know, just like you would a steak.
So are you talking swordfish right now?
Swordfish, tuna.
Okay. So what would you spice that sort? If you were doing swordfish, what do you like on it for a spice?
I like it Cajun. I like it a little hot. So I'll find a Cajun seasoning. And there's certainly, I don't want to plug any particular one, but there's many options out there in the supermarket. Just use your favorite seasonings.
There's so many good ones.
There are. And, you know, like I say, it's quick and easy, 400 degrees off the grill, and enjoy the eating.
So are you putting a thermometer in that to test that internal temperature? And you're going right to the center, I would assume.
Yeah, right to the center.
Are you bringing that off? Is it thawed when you're putting it on the grill? It's not frozen, correct?
So, right, you want to have it thawed. Right. One thing about thawing swordfish, sometimes you'll buy swordfish that's in a cryovac sealed package. If you're going to thaw that in a refrigerator or in a bowl of water, you need to punch a hole in that bag. Otherwise, histamines can build up and you can get very sick. And
really?
A lot of people don't know that. And it's very important with swordfish that you puncture that bag to let the histamines
out. Or just
out.
Take it right out.
Take it out.
Now, this is going to sound ridiculous because the fish came from the water, but is it okay to put that frozen fillet without any covering on it right in the water to thaw? Is that okay? Or?
No, we don't recommend that. You know, you should put it on a plate.
So it aerates and gases?
Yeah, put it on a plate.
Because that's
going to
gasify, right?
It'll gasify. Yep. Now, you know, ideally put it in a Ziploc bag and put that bag in the water, but keep it open at the top a little bit so that the gas, the histamines, can get out through that bag so it can escape. Otherwise, it could be very hurtful to you health-wise.
Wow, interesting. Weird. I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just swordfish. And the other thing, you know, the cooking theory, Canadian cooking theory for seafood is, you know, cook that bait 10 minutes per inch. I mean, if you get roughly 10 minutes per inch.
400 degrees.
400 degrees and check it, you know, check
inch
it.
Inch of thickness, not length.
Right, thickness, correct. Good call.
Got a 12-inch fish. Damn, he was a little overdone when
jerky.
I got him.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, so.
This is like wallpaper.
So, and then any other fish, you know, walleye, whitefish, perch, can be cooked on the grill, but you wanted to use a fish basket, 350 degrees versus 400. And you cook it until it gets flaky and opaque, right? So when it's flaky and it's opaque, you pull it off. But always use a fish basket or wrap it in foil, put some butter on it, maybe sprinkle some or put some lemons in there, foil it up, and just put it on the grill.
What do you think about cooking in foil, Bob?
Oh, did we strike a nerve with that one?
No, paranoia maybe. I'm not as big a fan of aluminum foil as Joppy is. He wears a tin foil hat to bed every night.
I got a book right here with 50 famous foil recipes, right? Yeah.
He loves his foil. You know, to each his own. It's fine. I probably turned against it when I started reading different reports on, you know, cause or things that they were suspecting foil of causing. And I know there's a
good
lot.
TV reception was one of them, right?
I used to use it on my antenna
well,
all the time.
One of the things I've heard is it's either Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Can't remember.
There are studies relating to them, and I don't know which is, you know, if any are true. But I know that when I've used them to cover my ribs, if that foil, like when I'm tenting them and putting them back in, if that foil's touching the barbecue sauce, I've had it actually dissolve the foil. And that's when I said, man, I don't know. This isn't right.
Don't know what kind of sauce you're using, brother.
Yeah.
That's what that
scary.
Is.
Scary.
You got fear of foil, Bob.
Right.
Yeah,
I do. I like natural stuff. So,
coming up next, Bob Dubisky's favorite seasoning is that Cajun on that fish. We're going to be talking to a seasoned Cajun. Coming up, it's T-Gid. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. We might talk about a Patagonian toothfish later. You never know. But anyway, that was an interesting conversation at the break. But Barbecue Bob, we got one of our board of directors on the line.
That's right. It's my brother from Lafayette, Louisiana, Mr. T-Gid. What's going on, baby?
Man, I'm just sitting on top of a roof installing a fireplace looking at the beautiful sunset of the southern Louisiana. It's beautiful down here, baby.
Yeah. How nice.
Yeah, well, you must mean sunrise.
Yeah, sunrise.
I don't think you're that far south.
How much did we drink from Mardi Gras? I don't know.
Right.
So you can smell the Gulf breeze from where you're at.
It's kind of sticky, but we love it that way.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, this time of year, maybe what's a good fish that's coming into America in big bulk that you can get all around the country, and what you might do with it?
Well, I mean, down here, you have your choice of either salt or freshwater fishing. I'm a freshwater hack. My brother, Gray, has a little place on the Gulf Coast, and he's a saltwater fisherman, so you feel salty or you feel a little sweet, bro? What you want to talk about?
Yeah, I like them both.
I like them both.
You catch a lot of bass. Everybody catches bass, right?
Yeah,
tell us something good to do with bass. Tell us something good to do with bass, because a lot of people don't eat bass.
Well, I mean, I'll give you, for instance, one of the Robertson boys that we went cook up in Monroe with Duck Dynasty. He's a crappie fisherman, you know, we call him Sakale, and I had pan-seared some bass, and he said, what was that? What was that fish? I said, that was freshwater bass. He said, no. He said, there's no way. I said, you liked it? He said, I catch bass all the time. I throw them back, but I never
right.
I enjoyed them. So this little recipe is one that I do for my wife, which is her all-time favorite, and it's very, very easy. You just take a full fillet of a bass. Of course, you cut out the rib cage and you just have the fillet with no skin. And you get a cast iron skillet. We traditionally do it on the grill. You can do it on the stove. And you get it pretty hot. And you pre-season the fish with, you kind of coat both sides with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil just to wetten the meat. And then you mix a concoction. We use like a Cajun seasoning, which is basically a blend of onion powder, garlic powder, cayenne, salt, black pepper, and maybe a little bit of obey or bay leaves or whatever. And I go ahead and add on top of that dill weed, dry dill weed from a bottle, and quite a bit of it. And I just mix it all together, and I dust both sides of the bass fillet generously with that spread. And then I take a pat of butter or two and throw it in the skillet. And as soon as it's dissolved, you throw them fillets right in that bubbling butter mixture. And you blacken it, and I don't mean burn it. I mean you sear it for probably about 30 to 45 seconds on each side, and you may have to roll it over two or three times until that center membrane of that fish starts to pull apart. And that's pretty much the indication that it's done, when the meat's no longer translucent but white. And you pull it off, and we serve that with a little steamed vegetables. Some people like corn on the cob, you know, whatever fixings you want. And a little bit of rice doesn't hurt. You know, we like rice with just about everything we eat down here.
Right.
So that's really good. And as far as a saltwater fish, you know, one of the things that we do is redfish on the half shell. You ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you leave the scales on it. You basically fillet it off the fish, but you leave the scales on it. You de-rib cage it, and then you mixture of butter and garlic and lemon sauce, and you throw it on the grill, and as it's slow grilling, about 350, 325, you just kind of every once in a while glaze it with that butter and garlic and lemon sauce, and cook it again till the meat's no longer translucent but white through and through. And then you just take it off the shell, and you know, you put it on a platter, and the shell hardens, you know, with the scale, and it kind of cups upward and holds all the moisture in. Mm. So then you just come back with a spatula, and you just kind of scoop out portions of what people want to eat, and it's just absolutely delicious.
Can you not leave the rib cage in it and take it out when it's cooked?
You probably could, but it's pretty easy. Once you
Is
fillet it?
Okay.
Yeah, you just come back with a fillet knife or a sharp pair of knife, and you just cut all the way down to the skin, and then follow the skin outward and just cut around it. It's just like a pocket, if you will, you know. It's pretty easy to do, though.
I was watching way too many videos, right? But watching a chef in the Caribbean with a fish, and he cooked the whole thing whole. He stuffed it with herbs, and then he grilled the whole thing, and then he broke it in half and basically cut the spine out of it and just lifted the rib cage out. I wondered if with that fish you could do the same thing. But, I'm sure everybody has their own method.
Well, the rib cage's already out on this portion. So, yeah, if you did a whole fish, a whole red fish, you could do the same thing that you saw in that video. We tend to do like sockeye, grilled sockeye. We did a whole TV program on that, stuffed it with herbs and lemon and citrus, like orange wedges. We do flounder like that. You know, you basically grill the whole flounder.
I think that's what this was about. It was a flounder. Yeah. It was actually a grouper. So listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we're speaking with T. Gidd, who's one of our original board of directors. He does a show on YouTube called Grilling with the Gurus. And
that's right, Grilling with the Guru.
Yep, and if you haven't gone on to YouTube and checked that out yet, I suggest you do it, because these guys are hysterical. We got another friend here, Keith, and his name is Bob Dubisky. He's one of our famous old butcher buddies, and he is now a food broker, and he sells seafood. So I want Bob to say hello to you, T. Gidd.
Hi, TJ. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Man, you got the best of both worlds, bro.
I do.
Seafood at wholesale.
Yeah. That's where the money's
at,
right?
That only took 20 seconds.
Yeah.
The calculator's working up on the roof, I see.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. No, seafood's a great business. You know, I was a buyer for 7 years and been all over the world sourcing seafood. So, but there's nothing like that wild caught out of the South, you know.
Y'all do any crawfish from down south?
Crawfish, you know, we're in the Midwest, so we gave crawfish a run, but it's a tough sell here. It really is.
Well, I did a crawfish etouffee. I guarantee you, if any of them Midwesterners ate that, they'd have second thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Right. Then they got to go on your YouTube to learn how to cook it, right? Because
there you go.
That's foreign food up here.
There you go.
And do you have to suck the heads? Is that mandatory? That's where I draw the line.
No, let me tell you. People that say they suck the heads, they either lie or they just slow eaters.
Or they're so. So yeah. Listen,
there's only a certain amount of hot crawfish on the table, and I want to get my share and then some.
So right. T-Gid and his brother Greg own a company called Percy Guidry, which their grandpa started long ago. And they took over from their poppy. But they make a grill called the Cajun Grill, and y'all are going to be at the HPBA show, which is in New Orleans this year. So easy for you.
Yeah, next week.
Next week? Yeah.
That's right. Next week. So we're going to be down there hooting and hollering it up. We got the Cajun Combo, which is a smoker slash grill. It's been a tremendous success. Vertical compartment and a grill, so you can have the best of both worlds. Our Cajun Pro built-in models are unbelievable. And then, we have the old tried and true regular Cajun grill.
That's a fun show. I'm going to miss it. Those days are, I guess, behind me now. I don't have a good enough reason to go other than maybe to hang out with you, and that's probably a good enough reason. But
that's the best reason to do it. That's right,
baby. Well, T-Gid, always great to hear your voice, brother. We appreciate you making time for us. Get up on that roof and finish that fireplace. Not sure what that's all about, but, you know, good luck to you.
Well, a man's got to make a living. He can't live by food and bread alone. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. All right, brother. Take care. Always good to hear your voice, and sounds like you made it through another Mardi Gras. So that's good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we did. Not too many stitches.
Yep.
But look, you guys keep it up. Y'all are doing a fantastic service to this country, and we love you.
All right, man.
Thanks, brother. Love you, too.
All right. Bye. All right.
So, T-Gid, always a pleasure. Bob, we're going to talk a little bit about shellfish and how to buy it next, being that you were a buyer. People might want to know what to look for. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Welcome back. This is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we've been talking fish. Just got off the line with T-Gid. Man, that guy's always got a great recipe. Technique. Yeah. He's just a master at that Cajun food, and a lot of that is seafood. But Bob Dubisky's here, a career meat and fish buyer, purveyor, butcher. He's done it all. And I want to ask you a couple questions about fish. When I walk up to the meat counter, I can understand, just from having purchased so much of it, what a good piece of meat looks like to me and the one I want to buy. If there's five steaks in the case, and I need two of them, I know the two I want to buy. I'm not so comfortable with fish. So it's varieties, but it's also what are the do's and don'ts? What are the ones I want to buy? What are the ones you want to stay away from? And maybe we could touch on that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Those are good questions. Let's start with whole fish. So a lot of people like to buy whole fish and prepare it, cook it whole. When you're looking at whole fish, you want to have the person behind the counter open the gills, and you want to make sure the gills are nice and pink and bright inside. If they're dark and cloudy, then you definitely don't want to buy that. You also want to look at the eyes. The eyes are a key factor. They should be bulging and clear. And if they're not bulging, what happens is as the fish starts to rot, the eyes will cloud up and they'll become concave. So anytime you see concave eyes or dark gills on the inside, you don't want to buy that fish because it's already started to rot. Fish rots at the head. That's where it starts, and then it spreads through the meat. So stay away from those type of whole fish.
Okay, so time-wise, does it vary by fish when that could happen? I mean, because that's – nobody – this is going to sound weird, but I don't like fishy-smelling fish.
Right.
Right.
Nobody does.
Right. So my point is there anything to the smell of it?
Well, there is, absolutely, and it should not smell fishy. It should smell
unless it's
fresh.
A mackerel.
If it's and if you got an ammonia smell to it, it's been around for a while. And the thing about seafood is, you know, a retailer can get fresh seafood in. They can get it in. They open it up, and sometimes you don't know how long that fish has been out of the water.
Right.
It starts to deteriorate as soon as it's pulled from the water.
And that's why the fishmonger that is dependable, you know, that guy that you have a relationship with that you buy from all the time, you just come to trust them and you know their fish is always good. And you might say, well, this is kind of expensive. Yeah, but how expensive is it when you're throwing it away?
Right. Right.
Or if you can't buy it.
And you want to have a good
sucking.
Eating experience. So it's important to have that fishmonger that they evaluate that fish every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't put a shelf life on it.
Right.
You know, like you can a steak maybe.
They look
it.
At it and smell it.
They have to look at it every day
it
and evaluate. And,
yeah.
Right, absolutely. And then.
So you do that yourself when you buy retail?
I do, absolutely. I'm very, I'm a
now,
seafood
now,
snob.
Now, like this probably. Time of year, you might be headed to Florida. Like I go to Punta Gorda to see my brother.
Uh-huh.
When we do, we go down to his local fish market. And it's so cool because they come in every day and they're just whole fish laying there on ice.
Right.
And they'll cut them up any way you want or just give you the whole fish.
Yeah, there's nothing better than that.
So you know, to right? have these techniques you're talking about, I think is just invaluable.
So there's a variety of fish that is filleted and that's the only way you can buy it.
Right.
Right? So let's talk a little bit about that. What is there to look at in a fillet? Is it as easy as the eyes and the gills, or is there other things I should be looking
you
at?
You mean like a Swanson's?
Like a whitefish fillet. Yeah. Like whitefish. Everybody likes a good whitefish fillet, right? So it should be translucent, you know, and it should not be – when it gets old, it starts to look like a – they call it a washcloth look, but it gets a little ragged. The meat gets a little ragged, and it'll start to not be translucent.
And
it'll
separate
to,
the
yeah,
muscles a little
bit. Yeah, when
it
starts separating – you don't want to touch that. You can always smell it. Ask the fishmonger to let you smell that, and he should let you smell it. He or she should let you smell it. It should have a nice, clean smell to it, not fishy. But that look should be, you know, translucent. It shouldn't be real. Just the odor is going to give it away and the look. That's really what you have to look for fillets.
So, like in Michigan, we have an actual whitefish. We call it whitefish. But there's whitefish all over the country.
Yeah,
so
and
what people call a whitefish isn't necessarily, right. If you grew up in the Great Lakes area, it might not be the same thing you're thinking of
right.
when you get that fillet.
And in my opinion, the Great Lakes whitefish is the best whitefish
you can
ever eat.
So good.
But people will call cod, pollock.
Right.
Sometimes tilapia, they call it whitefish because it's white.
Well, tilapia you should never buy.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that because.
I do.
I've been to China. I've seen
the
farms.
Care. I don't need.
But
don't
it's
need
a
it.
Very mild fish,
yeah.
And if it's deep skinned, it's got to be deep skinned because there's a mud vein running down the back of it. And if you buy deep skinned tilapia, you won't have that fishy taste to it. But if you have a fishy taste, it probably wasn't deep skinned, and you'll have that dark colored strip down the back of it. That's where you're going to get some off taste
mud
with tilapia, muddy taste. Mm-hmm. Yes, so. Always buy deep skin tilapia. It's very inexpensive, very mild, a good source of protein.
So if you're ever in the UP of Michigan, there's a town called Grand Marais, and there's a brewery there called Lake Superior Brewing Company. They serve whitefish, and it looks like a Cajun blend of seasoning. It's red. It's a beautiful. They serve you a big, thick chunk of a must be pretty good size whitefish because you're getting a cross-section cut of it, and I swear it is the best whitefish I've ever eaten anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're putting on it, but I'm going back, and I'm going to sample some this summer.
It's awesome. But you can go to your local supermarkets here, Meijer, the Spartan stores. You can get whitefish that comes right out of Lake Superior. There's a
frozen?
Fresh.
Really?
It comes fresh. And during the winter, They go up to Winnipeg and ice fish for whitefish and walleye. So it is available fresh all year round.
Like if Spartan has it, the D&W would be a store that you could get it at, like Knapp's Corners, I'm thinking. You think they have a pretty good selection of fresh whitefish?
They have a great selection.
Really? Yeah,
they do. In fact, well, I've been known to buy some whitefish from D&W just because, you know, so I'm picky, so I might walk into a certain store and not see what I want.
Right.
I'll go to another store until I find that piece that I want.
Right.
And I've had very good luck at Spartan stores.
So that right there, what was the not want and the want? Why'd you go to the second store? What did you see?
Because
again, it's just that washcloth look and stuff.
I mean, when you look at it and you look at it carefully, you can recognize the washcloth look and the tattered look, and if you can recognize it started to deteriorate and it starts to flake, you know, it shouldn't flake until you put it in the oven and cook.
So if you could, let's try and get online and find a picture of one and especially the washcloth look.
Yeah,
if you can, let's try and find one of those, and we'll put it on the Grilling Guys Facebook page as an example, and then
that's a great idea,
because I can't say that I could describe it. I like your description. I just don't know that I've ever really seen it. I think I have, but I'd love to see a visual. We're visual people.
Yeah, and I am a trained professional, so it comes easier for me. But
yes.
We put those pictures on the website. It'll help.
Yeah.
Right, and we'll put your picture with it since you're a trained professional.
Right. Look at that. Bob and Job consulting a trained professional.
And they got hit by the train.
Right, yeah.
We just raised the bar.
Right. Yeah, this is the new and improved Grilling Guys. But
I can't wait till somebody calls us out on him now.
Yeah,
it's only listening, and that was Bravo Sierra, what that guy was saying.
So anyway, what T-Gid did by grilling a fish with the skin and the scales on it, is that something that, I mean, T-Gid's an accomplished chef, but is that tricky, or was it as easy as it sounds for him?
You know, it's easier, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy, actually, but one thing you'll find, you know, my experience with folks in the Midwest, normally folks in the Midwest don't want the skin and they don't want the scales.
Right.
You know, they just want the meat.
Which is crazy.
So you don't see a lot of whole
fish. It's a built-in plate for you.
Right.
It's so nice.
In the Midwest, we do not sell a whole lot of whole fish.
Well, the whole world does it that way.
Exactly. Everybody but the Midwest. Big
sissies.
Well, we'd rather have our strips.
Yeah, we'll go out in the woods with a bear chasing us, but we're afraid of a fish.
But it seemed to me that made a lot of sense when it said it cups up and it holds the moisture, and the fish is going to be just better tasting. Those seasonings haven't fallen off. They're still
there. You
don't
have two sides drying out.
Right, and you don't have to use the aluminum foil.
I mean, there you go.
You've got to use
then the aliens will hear you.
Yeah. That's cool. So, your favorite fish on the grill, Bob?
So, my favorite fish actually is sea bass, Chilean sea bass, which is the Patagonian toothfish.
Oh, and see, I knew we were going to get to it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the Patagonian toothfish is the true name of Chilean sea bass.
Really?
And when they started farming it, fishing it, they didn't farm it, they fished it. They had a hard time selling it because who wants to buy a Patagonian toothfish?
Right.
So they enhanced the name, made it Chilean sea bass.
But they sell a lot of vests.
I mean, one of the highest priced fishes at a restaurant that you can get.
It will be because it's very, very buttery. It's got a great flavor. It's buttery. It eats like candy.
All right.
It's really good.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about some fish candy. So stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com. Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a male!
Yeah, male. Man Law, getting ready for St. Paddy's Day. I want to get you guys all ready for, what are we, a little better than a week away. Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and as such, said people must consume alcohol on St. Patrick's Day. Green and gold body paint may be worn, but no glitter, Jop.
I'm good. I'm glitterless. Yep, that works.
Try not to.
So I too, did not make an ice fishing trip this year. I just was never comfortable. You know, I it's kind of like if you got no snow on the ground, I don't feel like it's time to go skiing.
Well, it's it was so spotty most of the winter.
Right. Yeah.
But you did an ice grilling.
Yeah, we did last week, and there was 9 inches of ice. I bored the hole and measured it myself. So there's plenty out there that day. But, you know, you have these 50, 60-degree days. I don't know. I'm not the first nor the last guy on the ice. I guarantee that. But anyway, Bob, we've been talking a lot about these different fishes that are available in the markets, and I'm just curious, what about seafood? Because fish and seafood, the crustaceans, the scallops, the shrimp, the lobster, the crab, are you doing all
hungry.
That stuff too?
Oh, shellfish.
Right, shellfish. Thank you.
Shellfish, yes.
Don't be shellfish.
So, you know, shellfish is hard to find in some retailers here in the Midwest, right? But everybody loves mussels and clams and oysters. It's just they're hard to get.
Yes.
If you do have a fish retail outlet that sells them, they can be in a live tank, or they can be in netted bags displayed on ice, hopefully with a piece of paper underneath it so the ice doesn't kill them. But one thing you always want to look at if you're buying mussels or clams, they have a tendency to open up. You know, the shells will actually open. And what you want to do is you want to have the fishmonger pinch those shells shut. And if they stay shut, they're still alive. But if they open back up, then they're dead. So a healthy shellfish, clam, or mussel, when you close that shell, it will stay shut because it thinks it's under attack.
So nice. My question to you is they take these things out of their salt water, right?
Correct.
So they take them out, which is a long ways from where we are in Michigan.
Correct.
And how long are they alive out of the water? I never heard this before.
No, so you're going to get, probably about 5 days max.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's a quick turnaround. You don't have a whole lot of life on them. The optimal way is to put them in a shellfish tank. I mean, that's the best way to prolong the life. Do they do that?
Yes, do they have trucks that, you know, like a big tank truck that can haul them this far?
For example, if you're talking lobsters, right? Lobsters, the same thing. They'll only be out of water for five days at the most. There was a plant built in Tennessee by an East Coast lobster supplier, a hub, and they built lobster tanks. And so they'll ship them there and keep them in the tanks.
Oh.
And then ship them, distribute them to the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a holding plant so that they can cut down on some of the travel time.
And does it work?
Yes, it works
very well.
So they're
surviving.
So you
go to the bigger retailers, and they might have a lobster tank in their meat case.
Right.
Those have come from the East Coast to Tennessee to here potentially.
Potentially, or straight from the East Coast.
Okay.
You know, a couple of days.
But when they're in those tanks, is it a saltwater tank?
It's a saltwater environment, and it's got a special bacteria. Because people always freak out because what do the lobsters eat, right? They're in that tank with no food.
They're starving.
They live off a bacteria that's put into that tank that feeds the lobsters and help keeps the ecosystem working properly.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
So then when you buy one of those live lobsters, they got the rubber bands around the claws, so they don't fight all day.
So they don't eat each other.
Yep. And what do you do to prep that if you're going to drop it in the boiling water?
You just keep it in the fridge until you're ready to boil it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You drop them in.
And they're done when they turn red?
they're done when they stop squealing.
Right, yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that. Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out there and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. Smoke it up, and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.